Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1983. The topic is training, and the title is Programming Structure for Strength, Shape, and Athleticism in Under 60 Minutes. It's a lot. It's a lot, but we can do it. I wanted to share this. One of the business clients I'm working with, he's a personal trainer, and he thought it would be fun to share. This is actually suggested by him because he didn't know that it was possible to do all this. And he's like, dude, you should share this with other people so that way they also know that they can do this. I didn't know that I could do this until I talked to you. And it was a nice conversation, and super awesome that they suggested it. It helps me know that maybe it actually is helpful. So let's get into it. Now, they're a trainer. They want strength. They want to be strong enough to feel confident for themselves. They don't necessarily want to compete, but they would like to have the option to compete in something such as like powerlifting. And then for shape, they want to have enough muscle size, but they still want to be approachable is their term, meaning they want to be muscular, but they want to look kind of good muscle rather than like beastly, gnarly, massive bodybuilder that would be like unrelatable. They want to just look a little better than the average person, like bigger than the average person, leaner than the average person, stronger than the average person, more athletic than the average person. They want to be what that everyone would think their next goal is. So if somebody comes in, they go, I want to be lean like you. I want to be bigger. I want to be bigger like you. I want to be athletic looking like you. So that's their marketability, but also their actual interest in what they want to look like. So we're working on strength, shape, and athleticism. As for athleticism, they define that as they want to be able to handle their body weight well. They want to be able to do pull-ups, easy set of 10, 20 pull-ups whenever they want. They can do some jumps and some running drills. They want to just be all-around athletic while they're getting stronger and having better muscle balance and muscle shape. Now, the challenge is they only have 60 minutes to do this 4 times a week. And they didn't know they could. That was the struggle they had, is they would try like a strength-based program but then not feel athletic. They would try bodybuilding but then not feel athletic or feel like they were working on strength. When they did athleticism stuff, they felt like it was always like too light. And were they really getting stronger? Were they really going to get bigger muscles? So they felt that they always had to kind of pick one or the other kind of thing. So we went through and we created a program, a workout structure that I'm going to share in today's podcast. But I also want to share that the only way the structure works is we have a lot of other things in place as well. For example, when you're in the gym, you're going to be damaging tissue. And then you hope that your sleep, your food, your recovery allows your body to repair and actually add on material to that tissue. You want to build more muscle. Well, that has to come from a material. Something has to be there to be building that from. If I want to build a brick house, I have to have some bricks. So we have to make sure we have enough food and we have enough recovery to allow for the muscular growth. We want to have the same type of balance of stimulus and adaptation, recovery, adaptation, material adaptation requirements for strength and for athleticism type of adaptation and response. So we're going through, we built their nutrition around their training schedule. So that way they're properly fed for recovery and adaptation. And the challenge they're having is they train people in the mornings, then they have to work out kind of in the early afternoon. That's kind of a dead time for most personal trainers. Before, they were getting to their workout and they were underfed. And they were just having a really crappy workout experience because they had no energy at that point. They were already tired by that point of the day. So they would rather just go take a nap so that way they could still train their evening clients rather than work out. So we had to time out their food better, so that way not only were they fed enough for recovery and adaptation, but also so that way by the time they got to their workout, they felt fueled up, ready to go, and actually had some good energy to them. So their schedule, they get up around 5 a.m. every day, and we have a high-fat breakfast. So their breakfast has a lot of fat in it because they then train clients from 7 a.m. to noon. So they have 5 hours on their feet, Now, I have them drinking a protein shake in the middle of those 5 hours and being mindful of hydration. Now, we do that with, you probably heard of it, LMNT. There's different types of electrolyte, kind of like sodium-containing additives you can put in water. And if you have a little bit of sodium there, especially after a high fat, like a high volume meal, it helps control the frequency of urination. So that way they don't have to pee while they have five clients. So they only have to pee one time in the 5 hours. And that's something they can kind of time out to do in between clients. But that worked out really well. And then from 12 to 1, they have morning paperwork from all their morning clients, kind of organizing, you know, what each client needed, what they said, what their program was, all that stuff. While they're doing that, though, they get a drink made. Right now, they're actually trying a drink that I'm using, which I stole from Stan Efferding, which is Greek yogurt and vanilla protein powder in orange juice. It actually tastes really good. And you can get in the drink version that this client and I are actually using is 500 calories with 65 grams of protein. And that is a really good, like, big hit of protein there. Now, they're having that and they're drinking. They make it before they start the paperwork because otherwise they're going to do the paperwork and be late on the drink. So they make the drink, then they sip on the drink, drink the drink while they're doing their morning paperwork. Their workout is from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Then from 2 to 3, they have evening client paperwork. They do the paperwork for the clients the night before at this time. They found that that's better for them than trying to stay later in the evening after the evening clients. So before, they had maybe a little more time to work out if they would do the evening paperwork in later in the evening. But then they were having a crappy social life and just kind of feel like they were spending all day at the gym. So we decided to make that trade to where in the middle of their day between noon and 3, they do morning paperwork and a pre-workout drink. Then they work out. Then they have evening paperwork and a post-workout meal. The reason why we do the drink pre-workout is so that way they actually still have hunger for the meal after the workout. If they do whole foods before the workout, they're not actually very hungry for the whole foods after the workout. So it's a little bit of a trick on how to make sure that they're still hungry enough for that meal post-workout. Then they have clients 3 p.m. to 7 p.m., and then they're out the door. Sometimes they're 6 p.m., can't make it, so it's a little bit of an early night for them. And then they just kind of enjoy life from 7 p.m. till 10 or 11, and they go to bed and do it all over again. So this is it's a kind of a typical trainer grind where you're busy in the morning, not so much midday, then a little busy in the evening. As they are able to, you know, do what they want to, like build finances up, charge more, do some other odds and ends. Maybe they don't have to work, you know, every evening. People tend to like some of the evenings off. So maybe they could take Tuesdays and Fridays off or something like that and only work a couple evenings. But this is the grind they're in right now. It's just a lot of client work. They're spending, on average, around 8 to 9 hours in front of clients a day. And then the rest of it, they're trying to get in their paperwork, trying to get their own workout, trying to get their food, and still have a little bit of nightlife just to relax and watch a movie or go see a friend or something like that. So that's their balance. Now, they're already lean. So their calories, due to them being so active and they're already lean, their calories are body weight times 15 to 17. This gives you, I wanted to give you a number that would be relatable to each individual listening. So if I just told you, you know, 3,100 to 3,400, it's hard to know if that's, is that for a 220-pound person? Is that for a 180-pound person? How would that relate to you? So I wanted to rate them in this way. But their calories are their body weight times 15 to 17. That's the window of caloric allowance that we have. We're actually a little more narrowed than that. They're pretty consistent. But that calorie amount, if they eat under that, they really aren't going to build the muscle tissue that they want. They're going to be a little slow in recovery. The energy is going to be a little low. If they eat over that, they're going to start to accrue some body fat that they don't want. So that we found was a pretty good window. We actually started around body weight times 15 as a guesstimation. And then found that we were able to increase our protein. We were able to actually increase the morning breakfast calories. And their body weight didn't go up. They actually felt better, felt more recovered, had better energy in their workouts. So that allowed us to kind of incrementally increase a little bit. Protein is body weight times 1 to 1.2. That's their range. Sugars outside of that orange juice pre-workout drink that we have, we try to have minimal amount of sugar. I keep them under 60 grams a day. And then for distribution, their carbs and fats are definitely front-loaded in the day. They have more carbs and fats before the workout than they do after the workout. And then protein is kind of evenly spread throughout the day. So that gives you a good idea. I thought that would be fun to not only share the training structure, but to also give you an idea of what their daily life structure was, how busy they were, and then what our calories are. And then for tracking progress, we've been tracking their body weight. This client doesn't have any issues with weighing themselves, you know, emotionally, mentally. So we just weigh them just to make sure that everything's kind of on track and going the way we want. It's just a data point. And we also take photographs every 4 weeks. We do workout progressions, just making sure they're able to increase their workouts performances. And then they have an in-body scan that they can use at their gym. So once every 8 weeks, I'll have them just go in fasted and kind of do that in the morning. But that is something fun we have. That's how we set all that up. So that way you kind of know the support for the training. Now we'll get into the actual training workout, the workout structure. First thing we start with in every workout is a movement prep circuit. This is explained in podcast 1112. You can find that podcast in any of our like older podcasts. You can go to our website, www.brutalirongym.com. Scroll down on the main page underneath some client photos and a description of like my history. You can see our podcast player. And underneath the podcast player are instructions on how to find older podcasts, whether you're on a laptop or a mobile device. So you can find that. Podcast 1112 is a training podcast titled The Best Warm-Up Routine. And it is the warm-up that I use for 99.9% of my clients in regards to the structure, but all the exercises are all individually, you know, unique. So essentially what we're doing in that warm-up is we want to address mobility and proper positioning for the shoulders and hips. If their mobility is good, their position is good, then we work on strengthening the neutral positioning. So in the shoulders, we work typically on thoracic strength to make sure the mid-back, like the lower traps, the rhomboids, the mid-back area is nice and strong. For hips, if they have good, like they're not overly tight anywhere, we just keep everything loosey-goosey, keep it all like oiled up, you know, moving smoothly. And I have them do a lot of different mobility drills, and we'll also work on internal external rotation. If they're having trouble with that, cueing in like squats, for example, we'll do some external rotational drills as their hip warm up. And then we have core. So something for the shoulders, something for the hips, and then something for core. I tend to do more core bracing and core kind of anti-rotation or stabilization more so than crunches, typical things like that. The anti-rotation, the bracing is more relatable to most lifts that they're going to be performing. And it also still helps to develop a strong, but also what would be considered tight core. That's a kind of a crappy term, I understand, because essentially, for example, when people's abdominal walls, their rectus abdominis, their six-pack wall, tends to be protruding, for most people it's because it's weak. For other like strong, like strength athletes, it's just because it's super freaking thick and it had to get really strong to, that's like a power belly you'll see on strongmen or powerlifters. But for most people, if their abdominal wall is protruding a bit, it's actually because the abdominal wall is weak. When you do stabilization drills like plank variations and whatnot, it helps to kind of tighten that muscle and kind of pull it back in to where you can have more of a like a tight, streamlined core. So it helps aesthetically as well as just for back, lower back protection and overall positioning protection and proper positioning control for larger lifts such as squat, deadlift, overhead press, and various things like that. So that would be the warm-up. Typically, it's three movements, one for shoulders, one for hip, one for core. Sometimes it'll be more, sometimes it'll be just two. Rarely is it just two. So it's usually three, sometimes four, maybe a fifth, but usually three or four, but most commonly three. And it'll be three exercises and then usually three sets. And that gives them a chance to kind of go through one round of each exercise, figuring out kind of, oh, okay, this is how it feels today. This is how it should feel. And then they do the second one, the third one, then we move on. But that's the warm-up that we do. Typically, that takes maybe 10 minutes. Sometimes a little less, rarely over, but that to put around 10 minutes. And then we get into kind of the main part of the workout, the main circuit. But the main circuit has two parts. So again, if we look back at the title, we're looking for a workout that does strength, shape, and athleticism in under 60 minutes. So we said the warm-up takes 10 minutes. And I'll actually, when I know somebody only has a 60-minute cap, I'll select exercises, I'll select things that flow well, that it actually gets done in like 6 to 8 minutes. So that way it's a little more streamlined and gives us a little more time for the main circuit. And the athleticism component is attributable to that warm-up. By making sure our shoulder joints are in proper positions and proper strength, hip joint is in proper position, proper strength, and our core is strong, that's going to help a lot towards athleticism. You're going to feel more athletic by just feeling more mobile. So that's something do not overlook. Don't bypass that. That literally is a significant component of the program. That's why I'm mentioning it. And it's also why I'm re-mentioning it, because I don't want you to skip it over. And again, that was podcast 1112 that will teach you all those details. So now when we get into the main circuit, this is going to be the rest of the workout. The entire rest of the workout is all this main circuit. There's two parts to the main circuit. Essentially, what we're looking to do is each workout, we're going to pick a main movement. Meaning, it's the big heavy compound thing that is the focal point of the day. With that main movement, we're going to have a couple sets that we have to kind of warm up to the working sets. And then we're going to have a couple working sets. We break the main circuit down into the first part when we're warming up the main lift, and then the second part when we're doing the working sets for the main lift. So the first part of the circuit is going to be a pairing of two exercises with the warm-ups for the main movement. For most people's strength levels, and this is highly variable, but most people's strength levels, they will benefit from three warm-up sets. They might probably need, you know, as they get stronger, a fourth, a fifth, maybe even a sixth or a seventh, but that's usually very high-level strength, and they're probably not training this way if they needed seven warm-ups. But let's think, for example, we're doing squats, and we want to do our working sets somewhere around 275 to 315. Well, I might want to warm up with the bar, 135, 185, and 225. So there's four warm-up sets. Now, you can take, you know, different jumps, but I'm just giving out some examples here. During those four warm-up sets, rather than us just doing a set of the bar, hee-hawing around, putting plates on, sitting around for a minute or two, doing nothing, and then do a set of 135, change the plates out, you know, add weights, sit around, do nothing, hee-haw, blah, blah, blah. Rather than wasting that downtime, we actually do stuff in between the warm-up sets. What we do are two specific exercise categories. The first exercise that we pair with warm-ups is a corrective therapy related to the main movement. And I'm going to explain this all in more detail here in a second. The second exercise is a cueing exercise related to the main movement. And this would be a cue for anything that we feel is kind of weak technique-wise in the main movement. So, what are those? The corrective therapy related to the main movement. Let's say, for example, your main movement is bench press. Some corrective therapy that we might look into is thoracic strength and shoulder positioning, shoulder strength. When we do a bench press properly, our shoulder blades should be kind of squeezed together. And then we're going to think of trying to pull our shoulder blades down towards our hips using the muscles of our back. So our shoulder blades are together and down. You could think of this as a common finishing position of a cable seated row. If I'm doing a wide overhand grip, or say bench press with overhand grip on a cable seated row, the proper peak contraction of a cable seated row is pretty much the same type of position that you would hold and brace with while doing the bench press. So a corrective therapy related to main movement exercise could be cable seated row. You can even just do standing rows with a band. There's a lot of other variations of rows, but the point is it would be an exercise that's related to the main movement that helps with positioning of the main movement. If our main movement was squats, I might want to work on my adductor mobility. Maybe my adductors are super tight and that limits my depth. So I got to work on strengthening my adductors and then loosening them. Maybe I want to work on external rotation of the hips if I have a hard time rotating my knees out. So that might be an exercise I would do. I would even work on possibly core bracing. Because if I can maintain a neutral position, think of doing like a dead bug or some kind of like a Pavlov rotation, Pavlov movement. If you can do some type of anti-rotation movement, that would relate well to the squat. Sumo deadlift, kind of the same things, is external rotation of the hips, adductor mobility, core bracing. Conventional deadlift, maybe you're going to work on hamstring mobility so that we can have a neutral lower back, a neutral lumbar spine in their setup position. You might want to work on glute-mind-muscle connections. You can actually get your glutes involved in the lockout rather than your lower back. Or you might even work on lat-mind-muscle connection so that we can focus on pulling the bar into you and staying tight with the bar during the lift. But that's the first exercise that we would pair with the main movement, is something that is a corrective therapy related to the main movement. The second thing we're looking for is a cueing exercise related to the main movement. And for example, bench press, maybe you'll do some glute bridges to have some awareness of leg pressure during the bench press. You might do explosive push-ups to have awareness of being explosive and purposeful with your drive off the chest. Or you can actually do some chest isometric holds, like push-up isometric holds. Maybe you lower down to 1 inch off the ground, then you hold for 1, 2, 3. You push up to the top, lower back down, and hold 1, 2, 3. And that teaches you patience in the bench press to actually pause the bar at your chest. So that would be a cueing exercise for technique-wise. Squat, maybe you're going to want to work on heel pressure. So you might have them do like front hold plate squats, like weight plate squats. And that way they can kind of think of externally rotating their knees, keeping their pressure in their heels and midfoot, not letting their body weight get into the balls of their feet, like under their toes. So that might be something you work on. You can also do actually like a good morning. There's about 4 million variations of good mornings that would teach the person to shove their upper body back into the bar on the way up so that way they can maintain proper bar path during squats. Conventional deadlift. Maybe you're going to work on external hip rotation. So you could do feet elevated, kind of like a kettlebell hang pause deadlift. And that's a great, horribly great exercise to work on external rotation of the knees. For conventional deadlift, maybe you'll actually do some straight arm pull downs just to work on kind of being more aware of your lats like we talked about. So the idea for the first part of the circuit is you would perform a corrective therapy movement that is related to the main movement of the day. You would perform a cueing movement related to the main movement of the day, and then you would do the warm-up sets of the main movement. Now, typically with those two exercises, the corrective therapy and the cueing exercise, we do 3 or 4 working sets, depending on the intensity of them. If they're very demanding, I will do less working sets. If they're not as demanding, more of a mind-muscle connection, I'll do more working sets. But I typically will use 3 or 4 working sets of those, even if I need maybe a 5th or a 6th warm-up set of the main lift, because I don't want to overly fatigue the person during the warm-ups. So the idea of the corrective therapy and the cueing exercise is they will improve our performance in the main lift, and they'll also address any like weaknesses that we have to the main lift. So we want to build mind-muscle connection. We want to stimulate some adaptation response, but we don't want to annihilate those tissues. So we're not looking to destroy ourselves with those. We're looking to challenge ourselves. There is a little bit of a difference there. So we want 3 to 4 working sets of those movements along with 3 to 4 warm-up sets of the main movement. Now, once you're warmed up with the main movement, you got your 3 or 4 warm-up sets in, you got the 3 or 4 sets of corrective therapy, the cueing exercise, you got all that in. and you're like, okay, I'm ready for my working sets of the main movement now. We will drop the corrective therapy and the cueing exercise. And instead, we will do the working set of the main movement first. Then we will do a other main movement accessory, followed by another main movement accessory. What this means is, is if I'm benching for the day, after benching, I would do an accessory exercise related to squats and an accessory exercise related to deadlift. If I'm squatting for the day, it'll be an accessory exercise related to bench and an accessory exercise related to deadlift. If I'm deadlifting for the day, it'll be an accessory exercise for the bench and an accessory exercise for the squat. So this example, we're just circulating through squat, bench, deadlift, but I'll often even create this as like an upper body, lower body. So maybe in one of the workouts, we're doing an overhead press and that's our main movement. Great. I'll then do a lower body pairing. And if it's an upper body push as the main movement, I will do an upper body pull as the other accessory. So the idea is if we break our body down into push-pull legs. Now you can actually break legs down into like knee bending versus hip hinge. So you can play around with that as a variable as well. But I want to have a main movement that is either a upper body push, an upper body pull, or it's a lower body either knee bend or hip hinge. And then after I do that main movement, I'm picking two things that are not directly related, not are directly competitive. So for example, if I do an overhead press as my main movement, I don't want a chest press as one of my accessories because that will take away from my ability to do the overhead press. So if I'm doing overhead press, I could do pull-ups, an upper body pull, and then I could maybe do a knee bend or a hip hinge. And then that would be my two accessory movements to pair with an overhead press. So the idea in the second half, when we get to our working sets of the main movement, is to pair then the accessories that we would do for the other exercises. What we're doing is we're kind of splitting apart a traditional strength-based format. Typically, if somebody were to, say, work on squats, they would have a squat day. They would do all the movement preparation stuff. They would squat, and then they might do hack squats to work on quad strength, followed by 45-degree hyperextensions to work on the posterior chain, and then they leave the gym. Well, rather than doing the hack squats and the posterior chain with squats, we can't do that as a circuit because that's going to take away from the squat ability. So if I were to do a working set of squats, a working set of hack squat, a working set of 45-degree hypers, then I went back to squats, good God, I'm already annihilated. I'm probably going to go home. So typically in strength-based training, you would do all your squats first, then all the hack squats, then all the 45-degree hyperextensions. Since we're wanting to save time and get this in under 60 minutes, we don't want to do that separated because that'll take forever. So we want to do things as a circuit, but I can't have competing movements as my circuit because that'll take away my ability to do the main movement. To combat against that is we do non-competing movements. So it's almost like when I squat, I'm going to do my bench and deadlift accessories. Then when I bench, I'm going to do my squat and deadlift accessories. When I deadlift, I'm going to do my squat and bench accessories. So we're taking the accessories from the other days and putting it in with that day so that way it can be blended as a circuit rather than having them all interrelated, all competitive with the same musculature. So let's go through some examples. I might have squats as my main movement for the day. Maybe then I'll do pull-ups and explosive push-ups. So pull-ups and explosive push-ups don't take away from my squatting. Pull-ups can be a deadlift accessory because it helps me build lat strength and upper body strength to help hold my positioning better, especially in conventional deadlift if my torso has to be more angled to the floor as opposed to sumo deadlift. And explosive push-ups, great for any kind of pressing, so whether it's overhead press or bench press. So that, and they're both athletic movements. So we talked about that the client wanted to feel athletic. So if you want to blend in athleticism, you would actually select exercises as accessories that have an athletic component. So could I do squats, then do lat pull downs and dumbbell chest press? Sure, yes. But are lat pull downs and dumbbell chest press thought of and do they create the feeling of athleticism as much as pull-ups and explosive push-ups would. No. So you can pick more bodybuilding type accessories if you want more muscle growth, or you pick more athleticism type accessories if you want more athleticism. So you might do 4 weeks with bodybuilding stuff, 4 weeks with athleticism, and then vice versa. You can kind of pick and choose each time you create the workout what you want to lean heavier into. Another example could be bench press. If my bench press is my main movement, then I might think of pairing that with explosive step-ups and then depth jumps into bounds. Those would be great for squatting accessories and deadlift accessories. Explosive step-ups, freaking fantastic for strengthening the knees and the glutes. And then depth jumping the bounds is great for like kind of athleticism aspect of shock absorption. So that way the joints have strong stabilization and support control. And then bounding is great for hip drive and great for like triple extension, like for like the ankles and knees, the hips and whatnot. But that's very athleticism type movements, and they would absolutely help make your squat and deadlift stronger. If deadlift is your main movement, maybe I'm going to do, after deadlifts, I might do a dumbbell goblet hold where I do an alternating forward lunge. So I step forward with a dumbbell goblet hold. So dumbbell like held at my chest. I'm going to do a forward lunge, but explosively drive off that front leg back to where I was standing. So it's not walking lunges. It's a stationary lunge, which would require an explosive return. So that's a more athletic, explosive focused drive, like force, than a walking lunge is. So in a stationary lunge requires more explosive force than a walking lunge. Now you can modify that with how you do the walking lunge. But that might be a variation of a knee-based kind of squat type of accessory. And then for a bench accessory, since deadlift was the main lift, I have the explosive kind of forward lunges. Then maybe I'll do a dumbbell one-arm floor press. And that's just a great way to work on chest pressing. I could even just, if I'm standing up and want to stay standing, I could do a dumbbell clean into a multiple press. So maybe I just clean one heavy dumbbell once. I just clean it up to my shoulder, then try to do a set of 5 to 10 reps of presses, and then bring it down and go to the other arm. So you could do dumbbell goblet hold alternating forward lunges, stationary forward lunges, and then pair that with a dumbbell clean into multiple presses. And that would be a wonderful pairing with deadlifts. And you can see how those would all be athletic. So the one-arm overhead press is a very athletic movement because you have to core, stabilize, and brace. You're doing unilateral type movements, which requires unilateral bracing across the center plane of the body, which is very helpful for creating athleticism. And it involves overall coordination. So this type of format is something that I recognize can sound complicated, but this is actually really easy. This is one of the easier examples of complexity in regards to programming for multiple goals with certain limitations such as time. I have other clients who have limitations such as equipment availability, physical limitations. Maybe they have had injuries and we have to work around those. But this is a structure that is an open template, meaning this client can use this structure for the rest of their life if they wanted to, creating infinitely new workouts every week, every time they do them. So I create new programs for clients every 4 weeks. I can sit here with this in this format, and I could probably write you 100 workouts. So that's 100 months of programming that could use this structure. And that's the fun of this stuff, is this client now does not have to worry about how to get strong, build muscle shape, and feel athletic in under 60 minutes. They know they can do that now. They just plug in exercises that fit each of these categories. They build those workouts as they go. So for now, I'm writing them for him because he just likes the way I write them rather than him having to do it. It's just with more experience and just I'm able to pick some more fun stuff that challenges him. He would probably just pick the same stuff he picks all the time. So it's fun to have somebody else doing it for you for while you can afford so and while you're interested in that. Now, he's intelligent enough that if he wanted to do this on his own, he could. He just doesn't want to. He'd rather have me doing it, which is great. I love it because it gets him healthy. It allows us to continue to work on nutrition and getting his physique developing and changing. But I thought it would be fun to share that this type of structure is possible, that you can achieve in like multiple goals in 60-minute workouts with only four times a week. So you only have to spend 4 hours a week in the gym. And you can be strong, you can have great muscle shape, you can feel athletic, and you can be lean. Now, the lean part is done outside of the gym with nutrition and sleep. But this all is possible, even with a really busy schedule. So, for example, this client has 6 hours of work, then they have a one-hour workout, then they have 5 hours of work. So they have an 11-hour workday, and that's if everything goes well. So they have an 11-hour workday, and they're still able to achieve a great physique, still able to have a sense of control over their body and a sense of control towards reaching their goals. So I thought it was fun to share. Thank you for the client to prompt me to share this. I hope this stuff is interesting. If it's too complex or too detailed, let me know. But if you like these type of things, also let me know that as well. So that way I can share more of this type of stuff if it is of interest. If you have any questions, if you need anything, reach out on our website, www.brutalirongym.com. You can go to the bottom of the homepage. There's a contact form. You can just send me a message through there, and I'll get it, and I'll help answer any questions you have. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. The more people we share it with, the more people that are aware that things like this can be done and that they can, you know, have amazing physique. They can reach their physical goals even with a, 11, 12-hour workday. You can do it. It is possible. If you like the podcast, you can also consider donating to support the podcast. There's a hosting cost every year and all that fun stuff. So I appreciate those who do donate. It does help cover some of that. There is still some that isn't covered. So if anybody else wants to donate, that would be great. Just help cover some of this stuff. But I do appreciate your time, attention, and the fact that you give a crap to even listen to this. So that alone is appreciated very much. Also, if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.